this friend. They're going through a hard time and you want to help them, but you don't know how or where to start. When you see a need, step in with GiveSendGo. GiveSendGo is a safe, trusted, and reliable crowdfunding platform designed to help you help others. With a few clicks of a button, you can set up a campaign for the person you want to support. Come to GiveSendGo.com and set up your campaign. Then, share it with the people closest to you and watch the funds and prayers start flooding in. That's www.givesendgo.com.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you are. All of those people that tuning in to watch GiveSendGo Spotlight podcast, we have another awesome opportunity to interview a man that's doing some great things over in Japan. I love the way that GiveSendGo and the platform allows us to connect with so many people from so many different places, and just to see how amazing and how vast the world is, and at the same time how small it is. I mean, we're literally around the world from each other right now, and we can talk like we're right next door to each other. We can see each other. So it's pretty cool what technology is doing and allowing us to do. And so thank you all for tuning in. Today I have Andrew Walsh, my twin brother from another mother. So Andrew has a campaign on GiveSendGo. It's called A New Life. And it's, for those of you that are interested in reading about the campaign, why don't you take a look at, and we'll post it below the podcast when we post it out online. It's givesendgo.com/G33NQ. So yes. You want to take a look, you can read that, G34NQ, and you can read about Andrew. But he's also going to talk a little bit this morning about his campaign, what he's doing, what he's done, what brought him to Japan. So Andrew, let's just jump right into this. Why don't you begin by just telling us a little bit about yourself, and then also how you came to knowing about GiveSendGo as a platform, and then using it, and then you know what brought you to Japan. I mean, I think there's a lot of interesting things to talk about here. So why don't you just begin telling us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Actually, what brought me to Japan, I actually don't remember. I mean, I had a idea at the time, but that was about 18 years ago.
Oh, you've been there for a while.
Yes. Actually going on 19th this October.
Wow. Okay.
And yeah, it's I'm not the same person I was 19 years ago. So I can't really recall my exact reason for coming here, but I'm glad I did. Until recently, because that's one of the reasons I came here to GiveSendGo, which I'll explain later. But I've been teaching here for 19 years, ESL. I'm currently also a graduate student studying, you can say it's linguistics. You probably know it as TESOL. Does that sound familiar? TESOL?
Yeah.
Teaching English to speakers of other languages.
Yeah, yep.
I probably came to Japan because I liked the movies. I liked the language. And but very suddenly that changed because of the situation.
Sure. So did you know, could you speak Japanese before going there? Or did you just kind of assimilate over time and learn it? Or did you have a...
It's a little bit of both. I mean, I studied it briefly in university, but that didn't really help at all. And I realized that that's actually one of the reasons I teach, is because I think most schools, as far as teaching a language, they actually don't do it correctly. And that's one of the reasons I teach the way I do. And that's one of the reasons I'm in graduate school right now.
Okay. Yeah. So where in the, I'm assuming that you're from the States previously.
Yes.
Where in the States were you from?
New York, born in Queens.
Oh, okay.
You could say I was born in Jamaica, not the small island country, but Jamaica, Queens.
Yeah. All right.
Lived in South Ozone Park, and then when I was younger, I moved out to Long Island.
Okay. My sister was actually one of my sisters. I mentioned before this that I'm one of 12. One of my younger sisters, she lived in Flushing. Flushing, Queens for about 7 or 8 years with a missions organization. It's just doing work on the streets, helping people that were on the streets get back on their feet, and spent years doing that, and has now moved on from there. But I spent several weeks during summers going and visiting and being a part of what she was doing. It was it's an amazing cultural experience. We actually ran the New York City Marathon together, her and I. I'm running through all the boroughs. New York is such an amazing city in so many different ways. But yeah, okay, that's fascinating. So you were from the East Coast, at least born that area, and you also one of many children. One of nine. I know.
So we have something else in common besides the lack of hair.
All right.
Big families.
Right. Cool. So you're in Japan, you've been over there for 19 years, you've been teaching English, and you've now immersed yourself in the culture, in the lifestyle of the Japanese people to some extent. I mean, 19 years is a significant period of time. Recently, you set up a Give, Send, Go campaign. So how did you come about just to finding about Give, Send, Go? What was the journey to starting a fundraising campaign? But why don't you tell us a little bit of the background to just finding Give, Send, Go in the first place, and then the need, the why behind you are looking, what caused you to be looking for a fundraising platform?
Okay, that's a good question because I have to actually work it out a bit. Okay, well, I first came across one of your competitors. Okay. I won't say the name because, as I mentioned earlier, I lost one of my family members, and we had to collect money for, let's say, hospice.
Right.
So she was in stage 4 cancer. And yeah, the idea of crowdfunding prior to that had never really occurred to me.
Okay.
And then about a month later, yeah, she's no longer with us. About a month later, I saw this about the situation in Canada with the truck.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's, I imagine you got a lot of people interested in your company because of that.
Right.
And
yeah.
I liked the idea basically because the competitor wasn't doing the right thing.
Sure. Yeah.
I became interested in your company, Give, Send, Go.
Okay.
And yeah, just I got the impression that you were interested in freedom, which is something I'm looking for now. And it's pretty difficult here in Japan, which, yeah, we can talk more about that later.
Yeah. Okay. So you, it was the trucker campaign that really Give, Send, Go onto your radar, and that's great to know. And we have seen a tremendous influx of traffic all around the world, because that was obviously an international story. It was a huge story. It affected and caused ripples and waves around the globe in societies. And I will just tell you, Give, Send, Go is very founded in freedom.
Yeah.
We believe that as a fundamental core, that even though freedom does allow for bad things to happen, it allows for every good thing to happen as well. And so when we begin down the road of removing freedom for the sake of safety, which, you know, is an abdication of our own responsibilities to somebody else, it's like it puts everything in a worse position. And this has been tested out through history. I mean,
yes,
we can see this in the fact that people's eyes are closed to this reality is somewhat startling, because a lot of it's even recent history. I mean, you can look back over the last century and see what happens when you give government the responsibility of everything. how dangerous it is for people. And anyways, our one of our core tenets is that the freedom that we came to or have was given to us not by governments but by God, but then it was preserved through the death of men and women that gave up their lives to ensure that we can continue to live in those freedoms. And for us to then trample on them would be a huge disservice. So anytime we come into a friction moment, it's like, what should we do? Well, we're gonna lean towards the side of freedom for people versus we're gonna be the authority and tell you what to do and how to do it. And so that's kind of the give, send, go mentality. You probably saw some of that exposed during the Trucker, which is, you know, a platform that was standing up to do something right in the midst of a crazy situation. So I'm glad that you found out about Give, Send, Go. You started this campaign. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about what this campaign, what you're fundraising for? GiveSendGo.com/Golf34, November, Quebec, for those of you that have the phonetic alphabet, but it's G34NQ, that you can take a look at it. But Andrew, why don't you just give us a breakdown of what your fundraising campaign is for?
Okay, well, I'll start off with the amount. It's not really a lot. I'd say it comes to about 5,000 US dollars. In Japanese yen, it's about 500,000. And the reason I started this, well, every day evolves. So I have to go back and then I'll give you the current situation. Basically, I want to leave my job because this may sound strange to you, but we're actually... I'm going to say required to wear masks still. I mean, some places are still doing that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that for several reasons. Some of the reasons you mentioned, freedom.
Right.
Personally, and I think there's a lot of scientific evidence to back this up, they don't do anything. It's basically for show. I think it's based on feelings, not facts. And it's basically when I'm in front of a class teaching, I feel weak because I'm not really setting a good example.
Right. Okay.
By wearing a mask. I mean, so it's basically I have to do that or I won't be able to sustain myself. I don't want the students to do that because I don't think they need to. And actually, I'm not 100% sure about this. According to the Japanese constitution, maybe, it cannot be enforced by law. It's actually being done through peer pressure.
Sure. And that's quite significant itself.
Yeah. So what I decided to do, I want to leave my job, but I don't want to, you know, lose my livelihood. Eventually these mask mandates, you can say they're mandates, they're gonna be removed, maybe, I don't know. So I came up with this idea. So I've been doing it as much as I can because I still have to go to work. I basically go around town with, I got a little garbage can and I got a pair of tongs. I walk around town maskless. And, you know, sometimes it's about 30 minutes, sometimes it's about 40 minutes. I basically clean up mostly cigarette butts. Yeah, on my campaign, there's a little sign.
Right.
The reason I put that on there is that's basically what they do in Japan to get people to stop doing things. They don't actually take action. They put up signs. There are other instances where there's graffiti, which may seem strange, but it happens in Japan. And it's been getting worse and worse. And the only thing they do about it is actually just put up a sign that says, okay, graffiti is a crime. So that's something I actually would like to take care of in the future. But now I'm just walking around town, no mask, because I want people to see me. And maybe question, it's like, okay, he's not wearing a mask. mask. I see this guy every day. He's not getting sick. Okay, so maybe I could take my mask off.
What percentage of the population
are
wearing masks? So when you go out, are you literally the only one that you ever encounter or see that has the fortitude to actually not wear a mask? Is everyone else masked?
Yes. I knew this question was coming because I say the number like almost every other day. It's about 99.99% of the people are still wearing masks. And basically, I also put this in the Gits and Go there. I walk to and from work as much as I can. It comes to about maybe 16 kilometers, miles, I forgot.
Right.
Yeah.
9 miles.
Yeah, pop. Yeah, that sounds about right. And yeah, I take notice. Yeah, I noticed before I started this campaign, it's like I noticed the amount of garbage, like the cigarette butts that were all over the ground. And I've noticed, I mean, when I see somebody without a mask, it really stands out. And yeah, it's about 99.99% of the people are still wearing masks. And I actually don't think it's healthy.
Right. So do in your times when you're out without wearing a mask, are people engaging with you about that?
No. I mean, some people, they look at me, and I could be wrong, but I'm judging by their facial expression.
Yeah.
Sometimes some people don't actually make eye contact, but when they do, I get the impression that they're thinking, oh, who is this guy? Because actually, being a foreigner in Japan, that's not really, I don't really stand out, but walking around town picking up garbage without a mask, I imagine, gets people's attention, but
right.
maybe they don't want to stare. I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah. Well, I think it's a great approach to doing it because you're doing something beneficial, yet to them, there's an element to it that's rebellious while doing something that's beneficial to them at the same time. So it's this contradiction.
Yeah,
I'm sure that there's a struggle. Like, wait a second, how do I compute this in my mind? Exactly. I can't really say anything to him because he's doing something good. At the same time,
that's exactly my strategy.
Right, but, well, I think it's a great one.
Yeah, actually, yesterday, well, a while ago when I first started doing it, in the span of, it was like 2 minutes, some people actually said hello to me, which was very strange because in the span of 2 minutes, that has never happened to me, had never happened to me before.
Wow.
But yesterday I was walking down the street. This woman came by on a bicycle and she saw me picking up and she actually said, thank you.
Awesome.
That was yesterday. Yeah. And then another person who works in a restaurant who I know, she actually was like, oh, what are you doing? I was picking up garbage. She was like surprised. And she had on a mask. I said, well, you could take that mask off. I mean, it doesn't do anything. It's like, well, why don't you join me? No, actually what I said, yeah, okay. She asked me, why was I doing it? And I said, well, because you're not doing it.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, every time, if somebody asks me why I'm doing it, that's what I'm gonna say. Because, yeah, as you mentioned earlier, maybe before we started the interview, during the interview, you don't have to wait for the government to do things. It's like, you can do it yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
100%, yeah. Yep.
And that this concept, I imagine, is very hard for people to understand here. Because, yeah, in my classes, we have discussions. And many times what the people say, you know, if it's a social problem, I'll say, we should get the government to, we should get the government to, we should get the government to. And it's like, maybe, I don't know, that's the mentality that's pervasive in Japan. I always interrupt, says, you can do it yourself. It's like, you don't have to wait for the government to do it.
So right.
I think the mentality is very pervasive here.
Yeah.
So that's why I decided to go out to pick up the garbage, because, you know, you don't
have to wait for it. Yeah, I mean, it's a very sound reason, which, you know, and I think that this is a biblical ethic too, which is, you know, personal responsibility and freedom.
Yeah.
I mean, you're taking responsibility for the world that you live in, and rather than just passing the buck to someone else. And I think we are living in a moment in time where that's the kind of, let's say, MO, the modus operandi for how people operate, which is, I'm going to abdicate responsibility to somebody else. Somebody else can take it. I can opine about it. I can vocalize about it, but I'm never actually engaged in taking any responsibility for it, even though I am responsible in part for it because I'm a member of society. So it's, you know, the biggest change that we'll ever have is engaging in the world around us. It's, you know, I think.
Yeah. Well, you have to start with your own home first and then branch out.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I think I
have, you sound like you're familiar with Jordan Peterson.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. 12 Rules for Life, which is actually how I got a better understanding of, personal responsibility. Yeah, I have to book somewhere in here.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
No, it's foundational for healthy, holistic living and personal responsibility. It's an aspect of discipline. I was talking with my children the other day, which is you either discipline yourself to be responsible, because there's an aspect of our humanity that we war with. I don't want to get out of bed today. I don't want to work today. I don't want to do all the things that I know that I don't want to eat healthy. I don't, it's easier for me to eat all the things that I like instead of the things that are more healthy for us. And the discipline of disciplining yourself to do what you know you ought to do produces great outcomes. Whereas the discipline of having the consequences of your actions or inactions, not doing what you ought to, typically don't bring, sometimes they bring about change, but they are much worse, because the discipline of you actually taking responsibility and making good choices create character and they move you forward, versus just being hedonistic or living to fulfill your own pleasure and just doing whatever, it eventually leads to bad outcomes. And you're disciplined by the world because those choices actually just have bad outcomes. It's the way that the world works.
There's basically only two directions, right?
Right.
You could either go one step towards heaven or one step towards hell, something like that.
Right.
No in between.
Yeah.
I hope you've enjoyed listening to Shine Brightly and hearing about the wonderful things God is doing through people all around the world. Do you or someone you know have a Give, Send, Go campaign you'd like featured in one of our Spotlight episodes? If the answer is yes, fill out the form linked in this episode's description, or head on over to our Gab or Facebook pages and fill out the form pinned at the top of the page. Once your form is submitted, your campaign will be considered for this amazing opportunity to be interviewed by one of the co-founders of Give, Send, Go to discuss and spread the word about your campaign. Keep shining brightly.
How long? I mean, obviously, the coronavirus pandemic, it's gone on now, you know, 2 years of mask wearing and vaccine mandates and all of the different things that have been orchestrated around the world for various places. When did this really, is this something that's been kind of itching you in the background? And now you're saying, you know what? Okay, we've seen the outcome of this. It's been a year and a half plus. And really, now's the time for, got to start standing up, because this has gone on way too long. Is that the state of it?
For me or for?
Yeah, for you personally. I mean, this campaign is relatively new.
Yeah.
So is it something that you've been kind of having on the inside and saying, you know what, finally, no, I'm just going to bite the bullet and go out to make a stand and do something?
I think I understand your question. It was a slow burn. Yeah, I always have my doubts from the beginning, but now it's like I'm completely convinced that what they're doing is wrong for many reasons. But the thing is, I didn't want to, let's say, because I've made this mistake in the past, I would do things, let's say, impulsively.
Right.
Yeah, it's like I would just like not think things through and just make a bad decision. So one of the reasons I'm here with you is because, okay, I don't want my emotions to get the best of me where I make a bad decision.
Right.
So yeah, one of the reasons that I walk to work is it helps me stay focused.
Right.
And while I'm walking, it's like, it's like I see all these people with masks and it's like, why? I get angry. But then while I'm walking, it's like, okay, I have to come up with a logical plan to improve my situation, not other people, not other people's situation, because I can't do that.
Right.
So I thought, okay, how can I do that? I think the phrase that I saw was deeds, not words. So I can't really tell people, you shouldn't really be wearing that mask. You shouldn't really be getting vaccinated and so forth. So yeah, so I just walk around town. I don't really say anything. I just pick up garbage.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. I think sometimes that example is so great. It is so much greater than any words that we could ever say. Though words are still fundamental and necessary for us to be able to. Now, what is the freedom in Japan to say whatever you want? Are you legally allowed to speak out against masks or vaccines or things like that if that was what you wanted to do?
That's a good question. I would say yes. And the reason I'm saying this is because I see things in the comments on YouTube, for example. But I'm hearing stories in the United States that you can't really say these things. So I guess you can. But the thing is, I don't think very few people do.
Right.
I know there's actually a politician who thinks the same way I do. Well, he's not a politician. He's planning to be a politician. He used to be a boxer, and he's running for a minor political office. And usually the politicians around here, they go to the train stations and they, they make announcements about their policies and so forth.
Okay.
I guess it's allowed. You won't really get in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, at work, I say basically what I'm telling you now. People don't really say anything back to me because I think they know I'm right. They usually put their head down. It's like, oh. You're not supposed to, but I don't really believe in that. I think you have to say it.
Right. Well, I mean, this is how societies have gone down the road of allowing the Holocaust or like really atrocious things, is that there was just a societal pressure and nobody felt or had the courage or the bravery to actually just stand up and speak out against it and say, oh, wait a second, let's question this for a second. Hold the horses. This doesn't seem right. And unfortunately, it's an interesting Bible verse in the book of Revelation. God's come and bring, he's come and return and bring his judgment, and he casts all the evildoers into the lake of fire. But the first category of people that he throws into the lake of fire are cowards. I was like, well, that's interesting that that cowards are the first type of people that are thrown away from the presence of God. And I really think that that's emblematic oftentimes of the struggle between God and government. Is, you know, people that have a foundational faith in God do so at the detriment of government because they believe God supersedes government. And that's a threat to governmental power. And so when you can have that foundational belief and then live it out, practice it courageously, because that's what it takes. I mean, when you're confronting power with power, there's an element, there's courage is needed. This is why, I mean, Jordan Peterson talks about this, is why it's so important to encourage, using our words, to speak courage. This is what the word encouragement means, is to speak courage into people, encouragement. And many, many people all around the world, they don't get encouraged often enough. But it's that speaking of life into people that actually gives them the strength to begin to walk in courage. And I think it's important, like what you're doing, to be out there indeed. And then at the same time, encourage people with your voice, and not necessarily encourage them to not wear a mask or whatever, but just encourage them in life. Like, hey, you know, whatever it may be, there's value for you. People don't hear encouraging words.
Yeah.
Really much at all. And it is such a life-giving thing to speak, to use the voice that you have to actually speak courage into people. And that gives a hedge of protection against the power of the government. Because it creates a willingness to stand up and question things, because that's what courage allows us to do. But this is really, really fascinating. So newer campaign, you've raised a little bit of money. Hopefully we'll get this posted. We'll be able to share it to a little bit of a bigger audience. I can see, as a musician myself, I got to ask the question. You got a guitar in the background. You're a guitar player. You play the guitar.
Yes.
All right. Do you just do it as a hobby for fun, or you play out? You do it.
You can say I'm professional.
Oh, really?
You've been. But I was paid once.
Okay.
About $25. I did it in a church. Maybe about 27 years ago.
You trained yourself, or did you go to school for it, or take classes, lessons?
Initially, I started teaching myself, and then eventually I took some classical lessons. Mm-hmm. And because of those classical lessons, that's how I actually got that one-time gig in a church.
Okay.
$25, which is, so technically you can say I'm a professional musician. Because I think if you're in one movie, for example, you're technically a professional actor. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, then I'm a professional actor and a professional musician. That's pretty crazy.
Really?
Okay. Is I've gotten paid to play the drums before, and I happened to show up. I didn't get paid to have a part in the movie. I was just asked. I showed up as an extra to a movie set, and then they asked me, once we were doing the scene with all the extras, they picked me out of everybody to actually have a part in the movie. And
speaking part?
No, not a speaking part, just an engagement with one of the main actors, where it was in a dance club on a dance floor, where I was going to be flirtatious dancing with her, and it was a brief scene, and we filmed it 3 or 4 times, and I don't know if it was my leather pants that I was wearing or if it was my incredible dance moves, one of the two, but yeah, somehow they said, oh, this guy needs to be, or maybe it was the shiny slick bald head at the time. This was years ago. This was 20 plus years ago. It was hilarious.
What was the movie?
It's called Serial Intentions. It was filmed in the Boston area. It was a murder mystery, and it was about a serial killer who was going around killing prostitutes, and this homicide detective was on the case, and there was this club scene, and there was a radio advertisement asking for people to come and be extras for a club scene, and I showed up, and then they're like, hey, we'd like you to do this part with this actress and Erin Gray and what was the main guy's name? Yeah, it was not definitely not an A level film. It was a B level film, but I don't think it went to the theaters. It went straight to like DVD release.
Okay.
Serial Intentions, and I think that they made a second version, a follow-up.
Erin Gray, I think she was in, was it Buck Rogers?
Yeah, she was in a couple of different, Erin Gray was, and she was in a couple of different movies, and there was another main guy who was the detective, and I know that it's going to pop into my head later on today. Anyway, Serial Intentions. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. The club scene.
Wrote that down.
Yeah. That's cool. So do you just play in your home, like just to jam out?
It's like I barely play. It's just basically whenever I keep it behind me, because whenever I'm in the mood, I'll just pick it up.
Right.
It's like while I'm waiting for something on my computer, I'll just pick it up and play a few things.
Cool.
Yeah, it's like, I no way play as much as I used to.
Right.
Life gets in the way.
It sure does, man. Definitely does. I know life is full here. I've got wife and kids, a lot of kids in the house, and just a busy business and craziness. So I hardly feel like I get time to. Drums is a little bit different because it's stationary. It's only one spot. Like you can't carry it around. I'm not a good guitarist, but I can play all the basic chords and like bar chords and stuff like that. But
yeah, that's all you need.
Yeah, well, really, a lot of songs, it's all, it's like four or five chords. It's really not too much.
Worked for the Ramones.
Exactly. Worked for a whole lot of bands. I mean, it's crazy. I was in the Navy couldn't get into drum sets were harder to come by on the ship. So I was like, let me grab a guitar and try to pick up playing.
Stationed where? Bainbridge, maybe?
No, I was in Norfolk, Virginia.
Norfolk, Virginia. Okay.
Yeah, the main base there, and I was on an aircraft carrier. Played with the band as a drummer for that, but there was a church group, and they needed a guitarist for a period, and so I hopped into just trying to lead a little bit on the guitar, but it was short-lived. For that period of time, I stuck with the drums more so.
But got paid, so you can call yourself.
Yeah, well, I was in a band prior to the Navy, and that's where we did a couple of gigs. We traveled a little bit and did shows in some places. So that was fun. That was a good time. Maybe one day in my future, when things have settled back down, I'll get back into having stuff. But all right, so I'm going to wrap this up. It's been great talking to you, Andrew. GiftsandGo.com, G34NQ is your campaign. People, those of you watching and come to this far in the show, check that out, GiftsandGo.com/G34NQ. And you can read about Andrew, the stance that he's taking over there in Japan and the difference that he's making, because regardless of what we see all the time, there's an impact happening beyond even our ability to see the results. And I think that's an important thing to recognize. Sometimes all we look for is the external reality to change. And we don't always see what's happening in the underlying areas prior to those changes manifesting because of the example that we show to people. So continue to stand for what you believe in. It's important to do that. And thank you for using Give, Send, Go. We'll be posting this. Yeah, we'll be posting this on the channels that we posted on. I think it's YouTube and Gab and a couple other different places that we post to for our audience to see. I'll give you the last word. If you have anything else that you want to share before we sign off from this with the people that are listening.
Yeah, well, as you said, it's like I don't really notice any changes. I noticed the changes with myself, and maybe this morning I noticed yesterday with the woman actually saying hello to me.
Right.
But I'm just glad you said that because, you know, sometimes I want to give up, but I don't.
Good.
So yeah. It's good speaking to someone like you who actually gets what I'm doing. So tomorrow, right, depending on the weather, I'll probably get up early and, you know, make another round.
Good. Keep fighting. This is another scriptural, like, it says the righteous, and this is in Proverbs, the difference between the foolish and the righteous, or the sinner and the righteous, is the righteous, though he falls seven times, he gets back up. He continues to endure in spite of not succeeding all the time or whatever. And then all the New Testament, I mean, there's a lot more in the Old Testament, but the New Testament is a constant challenge to endure. Those that endure to the end will be saved. There's going to be a constant pull against you. Continue to endure in it, because what's being created inside of you as a result of that endurance is something that will last for eternity. So continue to endure, stand by your convictions, live it out, and recognize that there are things changing beyond what your physical eyes can see. And
Yeah. Well, I would like to say one last thing, because you just reminded me of something. Yeah, about 3 months ago when I got on the train, I had a mask on because it's, you know, close quarters. It's like when I do take the train, I actually don't wear it, and I actually feel no resistance when I do get on the train. It's like I just walk on and I look at people. And if they say something to me, it's like I'm going to be ready for it, how to respond, which I probably couldn't have done 3 months ago.
Wow. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So based on what you just said, I noticed there's a change in my attitude about it.
Good.
But you get better little by little, not overnight. So yeah,
three months ago,
I was a different person.
Yeah, no, it's so true. If people could only grasp, you don't run a marathon by jumping out of bed and then all of a sudden competing. You do it by a mile a day, and then 2 miles, and then 3 miles. I mean, that's how you do anything in life. So great, Andrew. It's been great to talk to you. It's been great to know you. And hopefully this will get your campaign a little bit more attention, and you can continue to walk out what you are feeling passionate about and seeing the change that you want to see around you. For those of you watching, thank you for sticking through with us and tuning in. Until next time, continue to shine brightly, as we say at Give, Send, Go, and have a great remainder of your day.
Did he catch all that? No? Well, let me translate. Poppy here was just telling me about the pet category on Give, Send, Go. And because her human started a crowdfunding campaign, she was able to get all the veterinary care she needed. Congratulations! Leo was just adopted because of the money his humans raised on Give, Send, Go. I'll send over a welcome home gift soon. Oh, thanks for the reminder. Toby is just about to go to a service training class, which can be pretty expensive, but his human was able to afford it through his Give, Send, Go campaign. Whether you're needing to pay a veterinary bill, looking to adopt, or just want to get your pet trained, Gifts and Go can help you raise money for your furry, scaly, or slippery friend. When you fundraise on Gifts and Go, you can be the best human your pet already knows you can be. Go to www.giftsandgo.com to start your pet campaign today.